What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 18th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball because there was baseball earlier today in Japan. It was awesome. Imanaga versus Yamamoto, and we should be seeing Sasaki. I think it's Steele, and honestly, you're going to see some Cubs guys. You're going to see some Dodgers guys, so maybe Glasnow will be a part of it too. Maybe we'll see some Tyone, maybe some Boyd. Probably not Boyd and Tyone, but we'll see. Long story short, though, I'm not recommending you start any of your starting pitchers for this. I am not recommending you sit any of your hitters. You should start your hitters, not your pitchers. Your relievers, fine. But for your starters, we shouldn't be expecting more than 70 pitches. And that's really what we got from Imanaga and Yamamoto. Fortunately, if you left them in, you got some value because they didn't hurt you in this time. But yeah, these guys are still kind of going through the spring training right now. We saw this last year, and we should expect it again for the second game. Imanaga and Yamamoto, yeah, both good. Four innings and zero earned runs, zero hits, four walks, two Ks for Imanaga. I'm not worried about it. For him, it's nice to see that he's at 92. It obviously came with adrenaline because he's pitching in Japan, his home country. That's awesome. But we saw under 90 in the spring, and I imagine we'll see closer to 91 in season. We're fine with that. Everything is cool here with Imanaga. While with Yamamoto, we have 0 for 29 four-seamer whiffs because he refused to go upstairs. I'm sorry, Nate Schwartz. He had a great article about why Yamamoto does not need to go upstairs. And he doesn't need to because he's clearly successful, but he could be better. He could be better than four strikeouts in five innings. Even with that splitter going 9 over 29 whiffs, to see just 4Ks kind of showcases how the four-seamer needs to do more to get there. But he's obviously very productive. A starter, five innings, one earned run, three hits, one walk in 4Ks. So an awesome time in Japan here. And Sasaki in front of that crowd too is going to be amazing. So fun for baseball to be back. But we have other guys to talk about from spring training. Rhys Olson, 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Velocity's up very slightly. It's not the 96-plus that we saw. It's more like just about 95. And 5 for 29 whiffs on the change in slider. Rhys Olson, to me, is a little strange because the extension's really bad. It's about 6 feet, and the four-seamers are not good. So that means that the slider and changeup both need to be fantastic. I'm not saying that Rhys Olson shouldn't be drafted in 12-teamers. I'm fine with them at the end of it. But there is this weird moment for me where if you're not a Holly, that is, if I don't really feel comfortable every single time you're starting that you're going to give me good ratios and be productive, and you're not really a 25% strikeout guy, then do I really want you on my team? Would I rather be going for, say, the Ari Geddes of the land, the Jackson Jobes, and maybe even the Max Meyer type? I do think that over the full season, Rhys Olson's better, right? But that borderline, is it worth it in a 12-team or not, is very difficult for me to discern with Rhys Olson. I've been trying to figure this out the entire winter, and I'm still not sure. So hopefully Olson has his slider and his changeup working. You have Bailey Falter, 2.1 innings and 300 runs, and no, he is not on the Rays yet. He's on the Pirates, so whatever. You have Skeens. Oh, by the way, I should mention with Falter, he's throwing splitters now, and they're 6 mile per hour slower, but like the same movement. It's very weird. Okay, it's not the changeup that we mentioned needs to develop with the Rays. Okay, Paul Skeens, 4.2 innings of 1 earned run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts. Not a good whip, but and the walk rate is high. He was missing a little bit too far away against lefties and didn't throw anything inside to them, which is a little interesting, and actually, that might be a book that guys, hitters are aware of in season against Skeens. But yeah, I mean, he's four-seamer splinker. It's not a good breaking ball set. He's kind of a guy that doesn't have the best feel for spin, it looks like. I don't know. It's something to keep tabs on, and PLV projections has him under a 30% strikeout rate. Keep that in mind. He gets a lot of horizontal movement on the four-seamer, not vertical, which really speaks to fewer whiffs than expected, despite the velocity and everything. But the splinker is, you know, the swinger. So that's something to keep an eye on with Skeens. I think you're going to see fewer double-digit strikeout games than you expect. Joe Ryan, 4 innings, 300 runs. But the real conversation here is that his velocity was way down. We're talking like 91.4 minus 2.6 ticks. And it was 2 to 3 ticks on everything down. However, we have David Brown here at Pitcher List. David Brown is a BBWAA member, has been for decades. Like, this is a legend in the industry of writing. He's now on the Pitcher List staff. our very first BBWAA member, which is incredible. He will be doing an article weekly inside the clubhouse of teams, and we're going to be getting these fantastic interviews and everything because of David. Really looking forward to this. And what he's done is he reached out and talked to Betsy Helfand, who has a report saying that Ryan was holding back because he was 90 minutes away from the Twins facilities and he didn't want to air it out. He was even saying in the car, for every 30 minutes I have to drive, I'm going to go one tick down in my velocity, which is kind of what it was, which is pretty great. We also had a report inside of our playback chat this morning saying that they were at the game and they could tell that Joe Ryan was holding himself back. So, like, looking at him, it just felt like he was calm, collected, relaxed, and not really gassing it. Which, again, is another fantastic insight from the pitcherless community. That's from Beastingo, and thank you so much for just communicating and hanging out in the chat. And by the way, guys, I hang out every single morning. Right now, it's almost 1 p.m. Eastern time. At playback.tv/pitcherless, we say, wake up with Nick. I'm going to be doing this every single weekday of the season. And then guess what? When the baseball games are on, let's say at 1 p.m., we're going to be live streaming the actual video feed legally at playback.tv with a massive pitcherless community. I'm going to be hosting live streams. You're going to have people from the pitcherless staff, people in the industry, just being your commentators when we have the entire pitcherless community inside of chat talking about the same game that you're watching. So stop watching MLB.tv alone, guys. You can now watch MLB.tv on playback synced up with our entire pitcherless community. It starts on opening day. You got to be there. Playback.tv/pitcherless. Seriously, I can't emphasize this enough. I'm so excited to just watch baseball with the best community. You know, like, it's amazing. It's what we all want. So stop just watching on your own. Just hang out with us. Aaron Nola, 4.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. The curve is cool. The hitter's down to like 90 and change. So that's like minus 2 ticks. And we're getting closer to the start of the season. There might be something there. It might take a little bit longer. And the change went 53% strikes, and I'm finding myself just like not wanting to draft Aaron Nola. It's weird, but yeah, I'm just like, I don't need to do this. There are other guys I want to chase. I want to chase Robbie Ray, definitely, instead of Aaron Nola. Chris Bassett, though, might be a very good 15-team sleeper. Went 5.1 innings, a 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. He looks normal. It's 90.5 on the sinker, which is about 2 ticks down. He's normally down at this point of the year. Might take one more week or two in season for him to get there, but I think that Bassett's actually going to be kind of a sneaky play. Probably don't start him the first game or two. Kevin Gausman was also down 2.4 ticks and 91.5. What? This has been a very weird offseason. As Gausman, I've been very much out on because, hey, the splitter kind of came back in September, but is it going to stay that way? 3-for-19 whiffs here, and that velocity on the heater. And I'm thinking, why go after Gausman? Like, he's a Toby at this point. If he's not getting splitter whiffs and he's not dominating with a four-seamer, yes, I know he's got more vert on it, 2 inches extra vert in this game on that, and 0-for-38 whiffs. And if you're going to say that it's weak contact, that's a good thing. Absolutely. I'm with you. But then that means it has to be paired with a splitter getting whiffs, right? 3-for-19. So there, what do you want here? What are you going to get? It's a Toby. And that's fine. 15-teamers, I'm fine with Gausman. But I think in your 12-teamers, you can do better than Gausman. You have Griffin Canning, 4.2 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. Oh boy, is it sit. I was talking to my bagel guys who said, you know, that new guy with a K in his name. I was like, Griffin Canning goes, yeah. I don't think he's going to get away from with Dancing with the Disco like he did here. About 50-51% sliders and only have 47% strikes on his changeup. That said, it was only 25% fastballs, and it was 3-pitch. It was slider, 50%, changeup, 25%, four-seamers, 25%. That was it. And, yeah, that's not really the thing for me with Griffin Canning. I don't think he can get away with that slider like that. He tried to do that same thing last year, and it wasn't very successful, right, guys? Just hit it. So I'm not really a fan of it. Mike Vassell was on the other side for the Rays, former Mets prospect. Kind of cool to see him go against his former farm club. And yeah, he's not very good, 94 without anything exciting attached to it. Ryan Weathers was way higher than 94. And I'm going to talk about him and many others, including data with Justin Verlander after this break. Ryan Weathers, 4 innings, 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, 1 strike. And how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? But it was 94.4, so he's up 1.5 ticks still. The vert is still good at 17 inches. And he has a low 1.3 attack angle. That's good. That's above average, right? You want above 1. And 1.3 is when we start to get interested in this. Just 6 feet of extension. He's kind of going inside the lefties with that four seam. We're not really going up, which is annoying. And the changeup was 1 for 15 whiffs, which is also annoying. And he barely threw against lefties when he threw 12 pitches, and just one of them was a sweeper. And here's the thing, Weathers, you were so bad at getting strikes with your sweeper last year. It should be so easy. It was like 53% strikes last year. You got to get that up to like 60, 65, and you got to work at it. You can't just throw one of them and be like a hung one up middle and like call it a day. You got to actually kind of, you know, test it out, try and make it happen. So yeah, that's not fun. Still, I think I'm going to go after Weathers and Max Meyer. It's a good matchup. It's the Pittsburgh Pirates. And over the opening weekend, this is something I'm trying to get in my head as much as I can. Who are the starters with good matchups early on? One that I haven't really mentioned, Chris Paddock should be the fourth starter for the Twins. And the fourth start of the year should be the White Sox. And Paddock has 7 feet of extension, 94-95. Feels good with the changeup right now, the split change. That should be enough against that weak team, right? So there is an interesting one, but that shouldn't be until Monday. I'm going to try and target the opening series, guys. Meyer and Weathers against the Pirates feels like a very good one, and you get to have fun with that upside. I will chase that at least out of the gate and then kind of adjust from there. If you're thinking about Chris Bubich, guess what? He's going to be like the fifth starter. So if you don't like it after the first start for Weathers or for Meyer, you drop him and you pick up Bubich off your wire, right? That's the kind of stuff that you can do in your standard 12-teamers. So keep that in mind. I have that up in an article from October, my top 200 starting pitcher rankings. You can find it easily by going to the list category on our site and then seeing the top 200. I am putting out an article, at least someone on staff is putting out an article as soon as possible. It's just really that table with updated offensive ranks, and so you can refer to it quickly moving forward. All right, we have Paul Blackburn. 4 innings of 200 runs and 6 Ks and 5 base runners. No, come on. Do not try this with Paul Blackburn. Merrill Kelly didn't have a really good start. 2.2 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks, whatever. I really think that Merrill Kelly is going to be a good 15-teamer Toby. He might actually be able to steal some value with Kelly this year in your 12-teamers as well. I think he's just getting overlooked. Chase Silseth against the Angels. 5 earned runs and 2.2 innings with 5 walks. And he threw 70% strikes with splitter. But then everything else was underneath the 57%. And that's a problem. It can't be relied on the splitter. Logan Henderson is going to get an opportunity for the Brewers. The problem is that he isn't taking advantage of this. 3 innings, 4 earned runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 2 strikeouts. And he has a very flat four-seamer, 1.7 attack angle. Oh my gosh. 18 inches of vert. And he's not locating well. 56% strike rate. He didn't have many high fastballs. The change in cutter, they were not a strike pitch. It was like a 37% strike rate on the changeup, and the cutter was like a 55%. Like, oh boy, you can't do that. You're so close, Logan Henderson. You have this opportunity. It might be a piggyback scenario with like Quintana and Davey Garcia, and maybe they even go Henderson and Woodruff and don't even put Woodruff on the IL. Regardless, Henderson is going to get some opportunity here, and oh, I just want him to do well. He has actually, like, it's interesting if you can spot those things. Tanner Bibee, 6 innings of 0 runs, and he actually didn't even have, I think, a good game. Sinker wasn't going inside well. The cutter was, ugh. And it worked out because it was 1 hit, 1 walk, 4 Ks. It's Tanner Bibee. He just kind of has the blessing of Koufax all the time. Joey Cantillo backed him up for 2 innings, 0 runs, 0 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. Everything is good there of 92-93 and 7.2 feet of extension. You guys change up lower. But, you know, it's only 2 innings, and it's a little annoying that they're slowing him down because they don't expect him in the rotation early so that they can have the innings later. That's what I'm seeing from this. In Cincinnati, you might also see a piggyback situation because he had it this entire game split between Andrew Abbott and Carson Spires, and Abbott isn't looking too good. His velocity is down over a tick. I'm not really seeing anything interesting. And Spires, I don't really think is that interesting either. He had a better game than Abbott, but I think you're going to see that first start for Abbott gets split by him and Carson Spires. So Spires actually might be the one that if you want to go for one in that first game, it would be him. It's not the best matchup for Carson Spires and Andrew Abbott. It's in Texas. Take that as you will. Adelise is healthy. Seager's healthy. Semien is healthy, etc. But yeah, that's the case there. You have Seth Lugo looking fine, like Seth Lugo for 5 innings. And I think he's also getting undervalued, which is weird because I've been the guy that's been anti-Seth Lugo, but we're at a point where, yes, if I get Seth Lugo from SP4, I'm fine with that. He's a stabilizer, especially if I'm getting Spencer Strider early. That means I need to catch up on April and I need to have something that's productive out of the gate. Well, Seth Lugo is that. That's fine. And you probably won't drop him the entire season. So I'm fine having Lugo. He's like on the border of Holly, but yeah, I'm cool with this. If you're taking a lot of chances later on, just get Seth Lugo, like pick 180 or something, and you're really happy. If he's not going at 180, like 150, still that's your SP5, right? Ryan Nelson got destroyed. 3 innings, 8 earned runs, 11 hits, 0 walks, and 1 strikeout. His velocity was down to 1.4 ticks, I should say. It was down to 94. 0 whiffs on 29 thrown. Oh boy. And the cutter that used to be 91 last year was like 89 and change. And that had less, had some extra movement. It just wasn't located well. Yeah, he's not there, obviously. It's feeling like Ryan Nelson's the same guy that he's been. And there hasn't been that extra kick of, hey, I unlock the next tier. So I'm staying away from Ryan Nelson. And I think the amazing run we saw last year at the end of this, the season, I don't think we should be chasing that. You have Jonathan Cannon not looking like the best version of Jonathan Cannon. So you really shouldn't go for that. And then you have Justin Verlander, the data, right? 5 innings, 0 runs. 3 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. And it looked like Justin Verlander, save for his curveball, kind of being split between two different ones. One was like your traditional one around 12 inches of drop, a negative 12, right? But overall, it was -5. And I was like, what's going on? Oh, there's this clump that kind of looks like where a sweeper would be, where it doesn't really have that drop, but it has more horizontal. Is he really testing out a sweeper? I mean, maybe he is, but I don't feel like the arm angle plays for that. I don't know. I see Verlander as a Toby, and honestly, that's fine. I think it's getting overlooked again. People think he's just washed up and done now. I don't think that's the case. I think it's a good scenario for him, and I think also Justin Verlander wouldn't be pitching if he didn't feel that he could actually be effective. So the Giants are going to have their series in Cincinnati to start the year. That's Webb, that's Ray, and that's Verlander, right? They might want to push him back so he goes at Houston. So maybe he can get a standing ovation for that game. That might be kind of cool. I think I'm okay, honestly, with starting all of that. We'll see. I'm fine just not if you don't, but don't ignore him in your 12 teamers after that for a stream. And just as a generally like, okay, this is fine, Toby. No Statcast games, but on TV, Tanner Houckland, 4.2 innings of 0 earned runs. 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Fine, we'll take it, but it clearly isn't like the guy, right? And I'm fine just ignoring Tanner Houckland my drafts. Ian Anderson, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 5 walks, and 2 Ks. He always finds a way to keep the ERA down because I guess he's just nibbles so much. But yeah, I don't really want to touch Ian Anderson in my leagues. And before that, though, was the exciting moment. Spencer Strider pitched and on TV, and we got some data because they were announcing the velocity. Oh boy. And it was 2.2 innings, 0 earned runs, 0 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. Oh my gosh. He almost got through 3 innings in under 30 pitches. That's so cool. Normally we see control, the problem coming back from Tommy John. Not the case here, but velocity's not there. And it's an interesting moment because do we think that Strider didn't give in to any adrenaline here? Because normally when we see this first moment, you do have it and you go a little bit harder. But I'm going to say no, because they were saying that he was 95 at times on the fastball. I'm going to say it was generally 94. So we saw previously 96 at of Spencer Strider, and his peak was 97, right? Now, there's got to be a little bit more in the tank there. There has to be. There's no way he just spilled it out here and this is who he is. So I'm going to say that he's going to sit 95. Let's just be conservative and say that Strider sits 95. Where should he go in drafts? I don't know. I don't know the correct answer for this. Don't treat him like a top 10 starter. Don't treat him like he's outside the top 30. Just have a game plan for when you're getting Strider and then backing that up so you're not too far down in April. And really, do not take the 5 straight strikeouts too heavily. It was not a good lineup he was facing. His slider looked really good and on point, though, and it was at the same velocity of 85-86, which is a little strange, too. It might just mean like he has to, which actually might suggest that the fastball is going to be normal, because maybe for the slider to work, he has to act like it's a normal thing, but the fastball he's able to pull back more. Something to think about there. And last but not least, we have this two games here, or two starts, with Mackenzie Gore and Eric Fede. Eric Fede looked like a Toby. 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Sure, I don't trust it whatsoever. And then you have Mackenzie Gore. 5 innings of 2 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. And does not look like he's going to have that breakout season. I'm just kind of avoiding it because I feel as if you're going to not know what you're going to get from Mackenzie Gore at all. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting the site. And remember, we have this amazing live draft assistant tool. Go get PL Pro today. Get the most out of your PL Pro subscription by using our pre-draft tools. But keep in mind, in season, if you sign for PL Pro yearly, you will be getting not only a fantasy manager that league syncs during the season, you will also get all of our pre-draft stuff up to today for next year. So you'll get it all the way through March 18th if you sign up today. For yearly, you can get 15% off yearly by using promo code PODCAST. That League Sync Fantasy Manager is in the same styling of the Live Draft Assistant, which is gorgeous. And we will have more information on that this spring. We're really excited about it. It's a place where we are going to be delivering you StatCast data in widgets, in our projections, in my daily sit start, curated for your leagues. Leagues, not one. You'll be able to jump between all of the leagues you manage. That is on NFBC, that is on Yahoo, that is on CBS, that is on ESPN, that is on Fantrax. Throughout the year, you can see where you are, all the widgets you want to monitor each individual league. It's incredible what we want to build for this and what we are doing right now. We will have a beta for it in the spring, so keep your eye out for that. That is only for PL Pro members, and we'll have the 1.0 all ready to go for 2026. But all right, that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.